Happy New Year all. Glad to be back with the Audible Weed Walk this year. This is Nina and you're listening to the episode number 24. Our last episode was number 23, was aired on the 18th of December. That was 2 weeks back. Just to recap, in that episode, I wondered if weed walk, guided weed walk, or just appreciative walk on your own can have the same effect as Shinrin Yoku, or the forest bathing. Wild, uncultivated greens are everywhere, accessible to all, only if we want to put our attention away from our screens to our surroundings, to these greens. It will be appreciating and, in a way, inhaling through our pores and senses these wild greens, right there with us. We ended that podcast wondering how to revive the culture of knowing and collecting these greens and explore what are the benefits of involving young children. Before we continue on that, a few things I have to tell you. What happened, what are happening, a few dreams. Why not? After all, this is New Year's first VD podcast. First, even though a crowdfunding has not been launched formally, all now can participate in this project by donating via Orville International USA. If you want to find the link, find it at the end of the summary of this podcast or my Facebook page, Edible Weed Walk, or you can email me at edibleweedwalk@gmail.com. You may want to see these interesting posters created for this. One is influenced by the iconic World War II picture of Rosie Rivetta. And we created our own and we call her Weedy Forager. I've included a picture of her in this podcast. Let me know how you like it. What is the aim of the project? Well, I'll have an entire podcast on that because it is amazingly exciting. I think you will like it too. The immediate objective of the project is reprinting the Edible Weeds book, the coloring book, which is currently out of print. Then publishing two others in the same series on medicinal weeds and edible flowers. These books will work as a resource material for what is designed as a wonderful, transformative, and a synergistic training program for teachers, educators, and some parents to not only reconnect and learn about these wild greens or brush up their knowledge about this wonderful resources that we have, but to connect to their universal values that they stand for in doing so. I dream of a community of weeders where for some the wild greens will be like for Shinrin Yoku. For some, the wild greens will be their interpreters about the climate and the soil who speaks through them. Some will use the wild greens as guide to decide what new crops or vegetable to plant in their farms, just like Masanobu Fukuoka had suggested. And yet others, they will be there to provide the cordage for making new things like basket, new fabric. My friend Kalai now makes most of her wonderful Sinota printing with edible wild weeds. And I will have a wonderful picture of it soon in my podcast, but you can definitely check it out in my website and also in the Instagram. But for most importantly for all, these edible weeds will be there for everybody to eat, everybody to be aware of, thereby notice the natural succession. One type will replace the other and people's attention will move with them, attuned and in sync with nature now. To that heaven of conscious awareness, let us reconnect. That was influenced by Tagore, by the way. A take on to that heaven of freedom phrase where mind is without fear. With that, I'm done updating. Now, instead of continuing from the last podcast into our exploration of how the connection to nature via the edible weed greens that are here and now influences children, which we will continue in the next session. Let me first address what came up and keeps coming up. So I'm going to address this here and forget it for a while. This is about eating leafy green vegetables and especially eating them raw during the rains. It is a bad idea. But it is so ingrained in us that salad, which by the way, do not have to be raw greens, but somehow in our, you know, in our imagination, that's what we visualize it at, and smoothies are ingrained in our mind that it has a tag of healthy food. So it's a good thing. But part of eating consciously is being tuned with nature, with the soil, with the weather. They are speaking to us and we must listen. And they are speaking, telling something different. The humidity in the weather and the natural dampness in the leafy vegetables makes it perfect breeding ground for germs. Therefore, lettuce, spinach, cabbage, cauliflower should not be just consumed. But if you consume it, cook it. By now, I've gone through many papers about research conducted in India, Iran, Croatia, Palestine, USA, Cameroon, and Kenya. While the specific names changes, the specifics of the study differ, they can be summed up like this. It is done same way as the National Health Portal of Government of India that clearly states the Ayurvedic recommendation for the season. According to the experts there, these are some of the arguments. During the rainy season, our immune system is weak. Metabolism is slower than usual and irrespective of our tendencies or dosha. The excess of moisture in the air makes it perfect for bacteria and microorganisms to breed. Hence, monsoon are the perfect time for breeding of various microbes and bacteria, which can easily contaminate these green vegetables. The soil in which they grow could be highly contaminated too, and then it is very easy for them to leach out into the leaves and the veggies. The leafier the plants, the easier it is for them to find home. However, if your argument is that you are eating the greens growing in front of you in your yard and it is contamination free, or growing in pots in balcony, no chance of being contaminated by the runoff of any sort, think again. Even in your greens that are growing on your pot in front of you, or even by hydro or aeroponic methods, the leafy greens will have more chances of getting contaminated during the monsoon. If you are still not convinced, until we hear a few names, well, I have randomly picked a few of them. There are many cumbersome names. One is, for example, Toxoplasma gondii, a ubiquitous protozoa parasite that can infect all warm-blooded animals, that's us also, in one of the main pathogens causing foodborne diseases worldwide. Then there is Helminths, which is egg parasite larva, a free-living larva that can cause problem. In one study, vegetables were mentioned where several vegetables, like I think about 11 kinds of vegetables, were monitored for a year after sourcing them from various usual, but what we consider clean sources, you know, supermarkets to markets to gardens, etc. The Helminth parasites were detected in all vegetables sampled in that study, including celery, radish, lettuce, leek, spinach, parsley, dill, green onion, cress, fenugreek, and coriander leaves. Some presence are not unusual, but the study found that more eggs were found during the rainy season. Our metabolism tends to slow down during the rains, which hampers our ability to process foods. Green vegetables are the sources of cellulose fibers, which will take longer to digest. At night, the digestive process of the cellulose fiber slows down even further. The enzyme secretion becomes slow and the microbes spoil the food by producing gases, which leads to stomach pain and indigestion. Hence, avoid them would be a good option. But if you still want to eat them, make sure you cook them and cook them well. As per both Ritucharya in Ayurvedic tradition and allopathic medicine suggest avoiding leafy greens, definitely raw leafy greens, mushrooms, all fermented foods, including alcohol, dosa, idli, dokla, and if possible, even curd in this season, because the body becomes vulnerable to infections during this weather. In one magazine article I read, the nutritionist Dr. Rupali Datta says that during monsoon, perhaps more than in other times, it is essential to wash the greens thoroughly and rigorously. Then the veggies can be eaten cooked if you have to eat them. Cooking involves heat, which ensures that the bacteria and germs that they have infected the veggies are not alive and kicking when we eat them. Well, don't eat this. Don't eat that. But what do you eat then? Eat that grows in this season. Gourds. There are 11 primary types of gourds and many more if you consider these the lesser known and regional ones. To name a few, bottle gourd, pointed gourd, ridge gourd, sponge gourd, chow chow, pumpkin, ash gourd or vella pushnikai, Indian squash, and definitely bitter gourd or karela. Eat plenty of these vegetables. Eat grains. Eat pulses in your diet. Spice them up, especially with turmeric, ginger, black pepper, a bit of cinnamon, etc. to your choice. These spices have antiseptic, anti-inflammatory, immune-boosting properties, and eat them warm. If you love salad, why not eat cooked salad? The gourd makes lovely steamed salad. If you want to include bitters in the salad, try a bitter gourd salad. Here is one recipe I share. 2 medium bitter gourds, slit, seeds removed and cut, rest in warm, mildly salted water for some time as you do the other things. 1 large capsicum, seeded and cut. 1 red onion, finely sliced. 1 tablespoon of ginger, grated. 2 tablespoons of sesame seed, pan roasted, set aside. 1 tablespoon of fresh ground pepper, 1/2 cup of lemon juice, 1/4 is enough. 2 to 3 tablespoons of sesame oil, 1 tablespoon of oyster sauce or 1 tablespoon of miso, 2 teaspoons of soy sauce, less if you are adding miso, 2 tablespoons of Thai fish sauce, and this is entirely optional, you can avoid it. Golden raisins, 1/4 cup, optional. 2 teaspoons of rice flour. Mix the rice flour, soy sauce, oyster sauce or miso, fish sauce and sesame oil together and keep it aside. Drain the bitter gourd, but do not throw away the water. It is good, so you can drink it actually later. Steam the gourd and bell pepper together. Mix them up with the sauce, and you have a mixed salad. The sauce that you had set aside, you know, those soy sauce and everything together. Add the raisins, sprinkle the toasted sesame, and there you go. You have a yum salad. So, not that difficult. So with that, I will end this podcast today and I'll see you next time, and we'll continue with trying to involve kids in actually picking greens, relating to them about the greens, and see how in different cultures it affects them.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.